This is Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage. Continuous Coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
And we're up to segment number three in our continuous coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's go to the courtroom.
And then you indicated that you seized the items from the blue bag. Please tell us what's in State's Exhibit 234L.
There's a couple folders that have a lot of those personal documents and two Apple laptops. There's actually three all total in that bag. And then there's a book and a couple other folders.
Is State's Exhibit 234M a copy of one of the Apple products that you seized? An image of one of the Apple products you seized?
Yes, it was.
In State's Exhibit 234N, is this another one of the Apple products you seized?
Yes, it is.
And that were conveyed to Rexburg PD for analysis?
Correct.
And State's Exhibit 234O, is this one of the other devices you seized?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what initials are in the back of that device in the OtterBox?
JJ.
In the red letters?
Yes.
Okay. And State's Exhibit 234P, what is that?
That's the front of that same Apple tablet.
Okay, and that Apple tablet with JJ's name on it, that's the front of it?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Now, you mentioned some personal papers.
Yes.
It's okay, pour your water. I'm with you. You need a drink?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Let me show you what's in State's Exhibit 234Q. What are those? Are those some of the personal papers you seized?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Do you need me to zoom in to be able to see which ones?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's start with the image that's on the left side of the picture. Can you see that?
Honestly, no, I cannot read the...
You need me to zoom in?
You need me to zoom in?
Well, when it does, I think it gets blurry, so I can't see the...
Right.
Okay.
Let me do it one more time.
Okay.
Can you read it?
Yes.
Okay. What is the document on the left side of the picture?
On the left side of the picture, it's a State of Arizona Certificate of Death named in the name of Leland Charles Anthony Vallow.
Okay. And so that's a death certificate for Leland or Charles Vallow?
Correct.
Okay. How many copies did you find of Charles Vallow's death certificate in Lori Vallow's rental?
There was roughly 14 or 15 copies.
Okay.
Excuse me.
That's all right. And what is the document on the right-hand side of the picture?
That's a document of the condo complex that they were staying at.
Okay. What do we see, what are the papers we see in State's Exhibit 234R? And do you need me to zoom out?
Just a little bit. Can you push the one on the left down just a little bit so that the top is showing? There you go. So that's a state of Louisiana certification of birth in the name of Joshua Jackson Vallow.
Is there an additional certification of death on the very right-hand side of the picture?
Yes, there is.
Who is that for?
It's issued by the state of Arizona in the name of Leland Charles Anthony Vallow.
And that's one of the another one of the copies you found?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. There appear to be some Social Security cards in the picture. Let me move it over. Can you read those?
Yes, I can.
Whose Social Security cards were in that car in Hawaii?
Tylee Ryan and Joshua Vallow.
Okay. And the investigation was into a disappearance into both Tylee and JJ, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And the paperwork served on Lori a couple of days before this search was for her to produce both Tylee and JJ?
That is correct.
Okay. Above, in the image, above the Social Security cards for JJ and Tylee, it looks like there's some school paperwork.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us what that says?
It's a receipt from the Madison School District in the name of received from Joshua Vallow.
Okay. At the top of the image, if you can read it, what do we see? You may zoom.
Yes, please.
Is it still too blurry?
No.
Can you read it?
Yes. Department of State Health Services Vital Statistics. Okay. I can't read it. Read that last word, but it's in the name of Tylee Ryan.
And then there were some items in a bag in the picture. Can you see what those are?
Yes.
What were those?
A state of Louisiana certification of birth in the name of Kanan Trahan.
Which of the papers do we see depicted in State's Exhibit 234S? And I'll zoom out. Can you read those?
Yes, I can.
What are those?
Certification of birth issued by the state of Louisiana in the name of Kanan Trahan.
Do you remember how many copies of JJ's birth certificate under any name, Kanan Trahan or JJ Vallow, were in that bag?
There were several. I don't know how many offhand.
Of the papers from that car, what do we see in State's Exhibit 234T? And I'm going to zoom out unless you need me. Can you read that?
Yes.
What is that?
That's a Blue Sky property management residency and financials document for a lease agreement in the name of Lori Vallow, Tylee Ryan, and Joshua Vallow. It looks like it's dated 8/26/2019.
And at the very top, that address is in Idaho? If you can read it.
Yes, Rexburg, Idaho.
And in State's Exhibit 234U, let me zoom out a little bit. What are we looking at here?
That was a patriarchal blessing from Chad Daybell to Alexander Cox, dated November 24th, 2019.
And that's just a copy of the front page?
Yes.
Now, turning to that black JanSport bag, isn't this what we see in State's Exhibit 234V?
Yes.
Okay. In State's Exhibit 234W, there's an image there. What is that?
It's a plastic bag containing an envelope with U.S. currency.
Okay. Where did you find that?
Inside the backpack.
And in State's Exhibit 234X, what is this?
That's a patient clinical summary with a bunch of sticky notes on it.
Okay. And can you read the names at the top? Or do you need me to zoom in?
The top of the summary or the sticky notes?
I'll ask a better question. The top of the typed paper.
I can't read. excuse me. I can't read the name on that. Lori Vallow.
Okay. And then you indicated there's some stickies. It's the blue stickies we see in the picture?
Yes.
Okay. And did you see any of the information on those?
I don't know what any of those mean.
Okay. Are there various words?
Yes.
Okay. Starting at the bottom, do you see what's the word at the words at the bottom? Can you read it?
I can see it, but I don't know what that word is, if it says gens or
Judge, I think that I'm going to object here. I think that the exhibit speaks for itself. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know anything about these specific words on this page. So I think that has lack of foundation for him to be able to testify as to what these things are.
Well, the exhibit speaks for itself, so I'll sustain it on those grounds.
Okay. For the completeness of the record, can I ask him to read the words he sees without saying what it means? Or I'm not asking him to speculate.
Well, the exhibit's admitted. If there are certain words that go towards your direct, you can ask on those.
Okay, thank you. The sticky note down here, can you read the words?
Objection, leading.
Overruled.
Thank you, Judge. Can you read the words?
I can read Blake and Hilpus.
Okay. And then there's a sticky note above that. Does that appear to be the word Brandon?
Objection, leading.
Sustained.
What's the word you see above that?
Brandon.
Okay. And do you see a word below that?
Yes.
And if you want to spell it, that's fine.
A-N-G-O.
Okay. And then there's a sticky note above the name Brandon or the word Brandon?
Yes.
What is that?
GOMAD and twice. One written in cursive and one written in regular print, and the word hope.
Okay. And then there's sticky notes to the left side. Is that the word Brighton?
Objection leading, Judge.
I was just trying to move it forward, Judge. I can ask him. Can you read that word?
Yes, Brighton.
Okay, thank you. And do you see, if you need to spell it, do you see words below that?
I-L-R-O-N.
And then there's a sticky note down below. Can you read that?
I cannot read that one. I can read the one below it.
Okay.
Judge, I think now we're getting into a point where she's blowing things up to a point where it's being prejudicial.
Well, unfortunately, Judge, with the lighting in here, it's hard for him to see. Can I have him handed the hard copy?
Yeah, there's also a light on that projector that I think can be used. And I'll overrule that objection. I don't find it's prejudicial to try to...
No, thank you. Does that help you see it, or would seeing the original be better?
Seeing the original would be better. I can't decipher that, and honestly, my eyes are pretty bad.
Okay. May he be handed back State's Exhibit 234X?
Yes.
Okay. You're able to see it?
No, I'm sorry. I can only see the bottom one.
And the bottom one is?
Gladius.
Okay. Thank you. May I have that back? Thank you. And two more. State's Exhibits 234Y. What are those? Let me zoom out. What are those?
It's an Apple laptop, MacBook, and a HP laptop.
Okay. And those are the laptops you said you seized from the black backpack?
That is correct.
And those were turned over to Rexford PD for analysis?
Yes, they were.
Okay. And State's Exhibit 234Z, do you recognize this?
Yes.
What is that?
It's the backside of the HP laptop.
Moment, Your Honor. Let me check with co-counsel, but I think I'm done.
Okay.
One last question. Did you also participate in the search of a condo where Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were living?
Yes, I did.
And in that search, did you find anything of evidentiary value?
Yes, I did.
What'd you find?
Two separate items that were, one was an Agnaro brand silicone, like, rings. And then there was another bag, Thunderfit rings, silicone rings.
Okay. Any evidence that there were children there?
No.
I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith. All right. Given the time, then, we will go ahead and take the lunch recess. We will plan on returning just right around 1 o'clock or maybe 5 to 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please grab all your property. You can leave chargers, positions, and thank you. Let's have the jurors brought in, please.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on case CR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallo. We just took our lunch break. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I know that break was longer than anticipated. I've been working with the attorneys to sort through some upcoming issues in the case that needed to be dealt with outside of your presence. I'll also indicate that after discussion with counsel, the scheduling we've got here is going to be as follows. So we'll end up, we've got another witness this afternoon. We'll likely be done before 3 o'clock today. Tomorrow, given the status of where the state's case is with their witnesses and timing of other considerations and an argument we need to take up in the morning as well, we'll have a shortened day tomorrow, and we'll intend to go through evidence tomorrow until about noon, and then next week we'll be back on Monday for the regular typical trial schedule. So that's how we anticipate the week working out in terms of evidence being presented. So once you're excused for the afternoon today, the court will intend to hear argument on an additional motion that you don't need to be here for, so we'll let you go home for the day, and then in the morning we'll resume with half day tomorrow. So just from the state, is that the state's understanding of what we determine on an appropriate trial schedule?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, does the defense agree?
We do.
Okay, thank you, counsel, for that. With that in mind, then, if we could have the witness return to the stand. Okay, at this point, I believe we're going to commence with cross-examination, and who's going to be doing that?
I'll be doing that, Judge.
All right, Mr. Thomas, you can go ahead and start your cross.
I will remind the witness, Detective, you're still under oath for your testimony.
Yes, sir.
With that in mind, Mr. Thomas, when you're ready.
Good afternoon, Detective.
Good afternoon, sir.
It's Detective, right?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been a detective?
I've been a detective for 7 years.
7 years. All with the same department?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we went through a couple of things. There was a video of you walking into a pool area with somebody else. Who was the other person that was with you?
Detective Chad Cataluna and my lieutenant, Christopher Colliel.
Okay, so the three of you?
Yes, sir.
All right. And the purpose of that was to serve an order on Ms. Daybell, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. And she was to produce some children?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then 2 days later, you indicated that there was a warrant to search her vehicle, is that right?
That was be 3 days later, the 28th.
3 days later, sorry. And that was a warrant to search her vehicle?
Yes, sir.
And what was the purpose of that warrant? I mean, I know what the purpose was, to search the vehicle, but what was, what were you looking for?
Any evidence for, I wasn't the one that wrote the warrant, so the person, Detective Cataluna, wrote the warrant, and then he had to do another operation, so he passed that on to me, and I served the warrant.
Okay. But what were you looking for?
Any evidence for the missing children.
Okay. And so when you pulled the people out of the car, I believe you indicated that there was, I want to say, a Robin Ruth bag, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is Robin Ruth, is that some sort of a name brand?
I don't know.
How did you come up with Robin Ruth?
It's on the bag.
Oh, okay. All right. And did you, were you the one that was doing the actual search? Was it you and some other people, or just you? Or
I did the actual search, and then I had a bag and tagger and a recorder and a photographer.
Okay. So bag and tagger, that's a person that takes the evidence that you collect, puts it in an evidence bag, seals it up, and marks it and tags it as far, putting it on some sort of a inventory?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And who was that?
That would have been Detective Brandy Ledesma.
Okay. And some of the things that you found, I'd actually like to take a look at Exhibit 234 if I could. And can I publish that to the jury, Judge?
Yes.
Parts of it. So tell me, this is Exhibit 234B. Can you tell me what you can see in that photo?
Well, I see several things, but mainly the purse.
Okay. And did you collect the purse? As evidence?
I don't recall if I collected the actual bag.
Okay. You were looking for evidence of the kids, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you take any trace evidence in the car?
No, sir.
None. Okay. I'm now going to show you 234D. D is in dog, I believe. Let's check that. D. And what is this picture of?
That's the picture of the credit card that I inadvertently knocked off the seat.
Okay. And you had somebody take a photo of that?
Yes.
Will there be any trace evidence near or around that credit card?
I don't know.
Do you see anything in there that might be considered trace evidence?
Yes, I see some hairs.
Do you think maybe some of those hairs could have been Tylee's? Do you think that might have been something that you would maybe collect?
That is a great possibility.
If you were looking for, if you were actually looking for a child, would that be something that you would try to collect?
Yes.
But you didn't do that?
No, sir.
Okay. $234K, what is that?
That's the Robin Ruth bag.
All right. And this was, where did you say you found this, in the back seat?
On the rear passenger side floorboard.
All right. And this is where they kept most of the, or all of the important documents that you found?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this is another photograph of the bag, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. This is 234L. Those were some of the important documents that you found inside the bag?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You found a couple of iPads, it looks like?
Yes, sir.
There was a book. It looks like a religious book. Do you know anything about that book?
No, I do not.
Okay. And then some other papers and whatnot?
Correct.
Okay. And these are some, but not all, of the important documents you found in that bag, right?
Correct.
Okay. There are other important documents that you just didn't photograph?
Not that word. Everything that was taken as evidence was photographed.
Okay. Was there... Okay, so these were all the documents, so to speak, that were vital records and those kinds of things. Those were the only ones that you found?
No, there's some more.
There are more? Are you talking about this one?
That is one.
Okay, but that was also included in the other exhibit, right? Certificate of live birth. Or no, you're right. I'm sorry, you're right. That was a different certificate of birth. All right, so this is one of the documents that you said that were also in there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was this document in there as well?
Yes, sir.
In the bag that had all the important documents in it?
Yes.
Okay. Was this the only page that was in there, or was it several pages?
I do not recall that.
You don't recall?
I apologize, counsel, for the record. What picture is that?
This is 234U. If I can just have a second with counsel, Judge.
Yes, you may.
Okay. Did you photograph every page of this particular document?
I don't recall if there was more pages of that document or not.
Okay. But this was a photograph that was taken as far as you know?
Yes.
And was this... Okay. But you don't know if there were other pages, but you don't know if there were other pages to this document?
I don't recall offhand right now, no.
Okay. And this is document 234W. You said that that was purported to be some cash?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How much cash was it?
It was roughly $5,000. Okay. Might have been a little bit more, in between $5,000 and $5,500.
Okay. And the state had you review this document and you read these names off?
Correct.
Okay. You don't know what any of these names mean?
Possibly Hope.
But you don't know what any of these names mean?
Not the other names.
They don't have any, in your investigation, the names haven't come up. You don't know if they're spiritual names or some sort of anything like that?
I don't know what they stand for.
Okay. What you know is that all those documents came out of that one bag?
Correct.
And those are very important documents for those people?
Can you repeat the question?
That those were important documents to the people that own that bag?
I suspect.
Okay. Okay. We have nothing further, Judge.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Redirect?
No, sir. Thank you. Very briefly, Your Honor, I apologize. Two questions being asked. I should have answered you first. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Good afternoon, Detective.
Good afternoon.
Couple just quick questions. When you searched, defense counsel asked about your search of the car and trace evidence. Do you remember those questions?
Yes.
And so in reviewing and executing the search warrants, let's start with the condo. Did you find any evidence that there were children staying in that condo?
No, I did not.
Okay. When you looked at the car, how many bikes were in that car? Oh. Looking at the pictures... Be easier for you?
Yes.
Can I have State's Exhibit 234, please?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I'm putting State's 234J up there. How many bikes do you see in the back of that car? Do you need me to rotate it for you?
No, that's fine. I see one.
Okay. And was that bike spread out into the car, or was it totally in the trunk?
It was totally in that cargo area.
Okay. And let's take a look at State's Exhibit 234H. How many bike tires do you see in that car, in that picture?
Two.
Okay. And they were spread out across the back seat?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Any evidence that there were children in that car?
No, ma'am.
Okay. In fact, when the car was stopped, how many people were there?
Two.
Okay. And who was that second person?
Chad Dable.
Okay. There were no children at that car stop?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And looking at the pictures, there's no place for a child to even sit, is there?
No, there's not.
Did you find any evidence at any of the scenes you went to, either by the pool where you saw Ms. Vallow sunbathing, or in the rental car that the Daybells rented, or at the condo? Did you see any evidence that JJ and Tylee were there?
No, I did not.
Did you see any evidence that they'd ever been there?
No.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right, that'll conclude the testimony of this witness then. May this witness be excused and released from any subpoena.
We would ask that he is, Judge.
Thank you.
No objection.
All right, no objection then. You're released, and thank you for your testimony. You're welcome. The bailiff will assist you in exiting the court. All right, the state may call its next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. The state will call Ryan Peller, Officer Ryan Peller.
Before we commence with testimony, then, I will inquire of the witness, who's now under oath, Officer Pillard. Have you reviewed, read, or listened to any of the trial testimony at all that's taken place since this trial began?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay. With that, then, you can conduct your direct examination. I would request that the witness talk directly into the microphone, make verbal responses to any questions asked so we keep a clear record, and try to avoid speaking at the same time as any attorney questioning you. Ms. Smith, you can go ahead and inquire on direct.
Thank you, Judge. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you please identify yourself to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury and spell your last name?
Yes, my name is Ryan Pillar. Last name is spelled P as in Paul, I-L-L-A-R, first name R-Y-A-N.
And, sir, how are you employed?
I am employed with the Town of Gilbert Police Department, located in Maricopa County, Arizona.
Okay. How long have you been a police officer in Gilbert, Arizona?
I was hired in February of 2007, which brings me to a little over 16 years.
Okay. Prior to going forward, I would lodge an objection as to 404B. I know that the court has ruled on that, but to preserve our record on appeal, we'd like to object to him testifying pursuant to 404B.
Okay. Ms. Smith, I understand the objection. Is there anything the state would like to add before the court makes a ruling on that?
No, Your Honor, the court is, we took this matter up before the court in advance, and we understand the court's rulings, and this witness will have some evidence that is 404B, but he is also part of a sort of joint law enforcement effort to find the kids. So partially there will be 404B, and partially there will be stuff relevant to this investigation.
Okay. The court's considered that objection then for the jurors. This, we keep using this term 404B, which is just an evidentiary rule, so you don't need to be concerned about the number, simply that you will be instructed on what evidence is to be considered and how, and you've previously been instructed on this type of evidence. you will be again at the time of your deliberations. The court will overrule that objection as it relates to any 404B evidence, noting that any previous hearing that was decided by the court that this evidence would be admissible for a limited purpose. And with that in mind, and for the reasons I indicated in that February ruling incorporated into this decision, the objection's overruled. And Ms. Smith, you can commence with your direct examination.
Thank you. I believe you indicated you were a police officer in Gilbert and you were there for 16 years. Did I hear that correctly?
That is correct.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your training and background?
Yes, I attended 18 weeks of the Arizona Law Enforcement Academy, followed by another 18 weeks of field training in the field while working as a police officer in Gilbert. I worked on a patrol shift, working both day shift, swing shift, and night shift throughout 9 years. In August of 2016, I made a lateral movement from patrol to our special victims unit, which is a detective unit designed to investigate crimes against children and sex crimes. In August of 2019, I laterally moved from the Special Victims Unit to the Violent Crimes Unit, where I was responsible for investigating violent crimes to include but not limited to robberies and homicide. And then in August of 2021, I made a lateral movement back to patrol to pursue some other avenues within the Gilbert Police Department.
Can you tell us a little bit about your training that supports your experience as an officer in Gilbert?
Yes, through Arizona Police Officer Standards and Training Board, I've attended hundreds of hours of continued training. Some specific training would include a 40-hour forensic interview training. I have attended a 5-day homicide investigation training, a 5-day child crimes and sex crimes related training, and multiple interview and interrogation type training. Also, I have attended some 40-hour course on evidence collection and identification for crime scenes.
Now, in your capacity in for the violent crimes investigation, did you become involved in an investigation into an attempted shooting at a gentleman by the name of Brandon Boudreaux?
Yes.
What was the date of that attempted shooting?
October 2nd, 2019.
Okay. How did you become involved in that situation?
I was working as a detective at that time. I was actually in a meeting with fellow detectives, and we were notified of a shooting that occurred in the area of 3875 East Phelps Street in Gilbert. And as the violent crimes detective unit, we responded to further investigate that scene.
What did you find when you got there?
Upon arrival, the Phelps Street runs east and west, and the crime scene tape was set up with police vehicles to prevent any type of further contamination. At the address of 3875 East Phelps was a black Tesla with Arizona license plate that ultimately returned to Mr. Brandon Boudreaux. Brandon Boudreaux is also present at the scene. He is the resident and the individual who was shot at and called 911.
So once you were at the scene, what steps did you take?
I was assigned the primary investigator. I then delegated tasks to my fellow detectives to include collecting evidence at the crime scene and canvassing the area, while I tasked myself with interviewing the reporting person / victim, Mr. Brandon Boudreaux.
Were you able to interview Brandon Boudreaux?
Yes.
Was he cooperative?
Yes.
Okay. What, if any, information did you learn that caused you to take steps, further steps in investigation?
So speaking with Brandon, I ascertained what he did that morning. So I learned that morning he left his residence with his four children in common with his wife at the time, Melanie Boudreaux. And he took his four children, three of them to school, and another child, their youngest, to meet with Melanie at another residence in Gilbert. Brandon then met with his friends to go to the gym, and then returned to his residence at 3875 East Phelps in his vehicle. As he drove towards his residence, he observed a gray-colored Jeep Wrangler
I'm going to object to this testimony as being hearsay. These are all things that Mr. Boudreau apparently said.
Well, Your Honor, I apologize already.
I will sustain that in terms of the specificity of what was stated there by Mr. Boudreau.
Okay. So what information did you learn from Mr. Boudreau that led you to take any investigative steps?
After he returned home, he was shot at, and then we conducted a canvass of the area and spoke with neighbors, collected ring footage, and ultimately confirmed that there was a Jeep that was idling in front of Mr. Boudreau's residence for approximately 1.5 hours. That Jeep was described by Brandon and by independent witnesses, as well as ring footage, as a gray-colored Jeep Wrangler with a Texas license plate. Additionally, that Jeep did not have a wheel affixed to the back of the Jeep Wrangler.
Why was that significant?
Jeep Wranglers, two-door Jeep Wranglers specifically, have wheels on the back that would prevent the back window from being able to be opened. And Mr. Boudreau's interview, he explained that when he approached his house, the back window of the Jeep opened up.
Again, I'm going to object to hearsay.
It's to explain. I'm sorry. Counsel, go ahead.
He's indicating what Brandon Boudreau told him.
Okay. Your Honor, it's not for the truth of the matter asserted, it's to show why this officer made the observations he did and then what steps he took next based on what he received.
Okay. I'll overrule the objection but instruct the witness to try to avoid making direct quotes of what was told to you by someone else in the course of the investigation.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
So you were explaining the relevance of the Jeep window?
Yes, I'm sorry, ma'am. So the Jeep window cannot open up if that wheel is affixed to the back of the Jeep Wrangler. If that wheel is not present, in this case, the window is able to be opened up. Again, with ring footage and independent witnesses that were talked to at the scene, a gunshot was heard from that area at about 09:14 hours, which is when Brandon Boudreau returned home. Again, confirmed with witnesses and digital evidence.
So, in addition to learning information about the presence of the Jeep, was there any other physical evidence that led to corroborate what you had learned from Mr. Boudreau and then led to you following up on that information?
Yes. There was a bullet hole in the front A-pillar of the driver's side door of a Tesla. So there was actually a bullet hole. I guess I can just describe it, A-pillar, kind of towards the top of the driver's side door. The projectile fragments were recovered, some of them. After the shooting happened, Brandon called 911 and drove away from the scene. So we canvassed the area to look for other fragments, but ultimately the ones that were recovered were from the bullet hole within the vehicle. The windshield was also shattered. Where Brandon explained where he was shot at, there was shard.
Your Honor, it's calls for hearsay. He's saying what Brandon told him.
Sustain.
Okay. Were there shards of glass in any particular area of note to you?
Yes. So additional to the bullet hole, there were shards of glass in the roadway where it was believed Brandon was shot at.
Okay. And did you also, in addition to looking for physical evidence, did you learn any information that led you to investigate a possible motive for the shooting of Brandon Boudreau?
Yes.
What did you look at as a possible motive for shooting at Brandon Boudreau?
Brandon denied having any enemies or anybody who would want to
object to hearsay, Judge.
Sustain.
Okay. Without telling us what somebody said, if you could just give us what information you had that led you to lead somewhere else. Did you have any evidence to suggest at the time that Brandon Boudreau had enemies?
No.
Did you have any evidence that you obtained that indicated possible marital or spousal disputes?
Yes.
What information did you possess that suggested there was a spousal dispute or marital problems?
I learned that Brandon was in the process of a divorce with his wife, Melanie Boudreaux, and learned that his aunt, Lori Vallow, had a brother, Alex Cox, who was involved in a homicide in Chandler, Arizona, the death of Charles Vallow. Chandler, Arizona is a sister city to Gilbert. We actually share jurisdictional lines. So when Brandon told me about his marital problems with Melanie, combined with the recent homicide, that furthered our investigation to look into communicating with Chandler police about what they investigated.
Were you able to reach anybody at the Chandler Police Department?
Yes.
And did you learn anything that led you to investigate the possible motive or potential suspects from Chandler Police Department?
Yes, it was learned from Chandler detectives that a homicide happened within the jurisdiction in July of 2019, where Charles Vallow was shot and killed by Alex Cox. And present at that scene was Lori Vallow, her two children, Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow. Additionally, with meeting with Chandler PD, we learned of a gray-colored Jeep Wrangler with Texas license plates was present at their crime scene.
Did you learn who the suspected primary driver of that vehicle was?
The registered owner was Charles Vallow. However, his daughter, Tylee Ryan, was using that vehicle to and from school.
So upon learning this information, what steps did you do to follow up on the shooting of Brandon Boudreaux?
So upon learning this information, this Jeep became a primary piece of evidence for our shooting. So we checked LPR hits. LPR is an acronym for a license plate reader.
And did that check of the license plate reader system yield any results?
Yes, it did.
What results were developed on the license plate for that Jeep?
Again, the license plate readers revealed that the Jeep Wrangler with the Texas license plate, and I can't recall the license plate right now, I have it in my notes, but the license plate was captured traveling southbound from the area of Idaho Falls on 9/30 of 2019. Continued southbound in the area of Holbrook, Arizona, which is northern Arizona, on October 1st, 2019. And then that Jeep returned to the area of Idaho Falls on October 3rd, 2019. Brandon's shooting occurred on October 2nd, 2019.
And each of those places where it was located was based on description and actual license plate reading?
Yes, so a license plate reader runs specifically off of the plate itself. Of note, one of those cameras was a DEA camera, a Drug Enforcement Agency camera. They are along different highways. And it captured an image of the Jeep driving southbound towards the area of Phoenix metro area. The Jeep did not have a wheel affixed to the back of the Jeep. There was no wheel on it.
Upon receiving this information, about the license plate reader, did you take any steps to reach out to anyone, any other law enforcement agencies, specifically in Idaho?
Yes.
What agency did you reach out to?
Initially, Fremont County Sheriff's Office was contacted. This was in conjunction with another death that was learned. So based on a death that was learned of Tammy Daybell, that combined with the Jeep being up in the Idaho jurisdiction, we contacted Fremont County Sheriff's Office and then communicated with Rexburg because we gained information that a address was being utilized off of Pioneer Street in Rexburg, Idaho. And we began to suspect our Jeep was somewhere within Fremont County or Madison County.
Okay. So when you say another homicide, did you learn information that Tammy Daybell had passed away?
Yes. Again, I had regular communication with Mr. Boudreaux. He reached out and notified me of a death of a Tammy Daybell.
Why was that relevant to you in your investigation?
Because according to him, Tammy
Daybell... Judge, this is calling for hearsay testimony.
Agreed, that would be hearsay.
Did you have a reason to believe that any of the people of interest in your investigation in the shooting into Brandon Boudreaux had also had a spouse who passed away within proximity to the time when Brandon passed away?
Yes, there was information that Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell had a relationship in Idaho, and Chad Daybell's wife, Tammy Daybell, died near the time of Brandon's shooting shortly thereafter. So I contacted Fremont County Sheriff's Office where Tammy's death occurred. I spoke with a coroner up there to discuss how the process works for death investigation in that county. And also we inquired about the Jeep we suspected to be in the area.
Okay. Were you able to contact any other law enforcement specifically to help you locate that Jeep?
Yes, we made contact with the Rexburg Police Department, and communication began directly with Detective Hermosillo.
Okay. And when you say communication, specifically about what?
About our Jeep, and we were looking for our suspect, Alex Cox, and we believe he was up in that jurisdiction.
So when you say your suspect, Alex Cox, at this point, why was Alex Cox a suspect in the shooting of Brandon Boudreaux?
We completed search warrants for cellular tower data and cell phone data, and it revealed that Alex, one of the phones he was using, was traveling within the area of Brandon's residence and actually was parked in front or near Brandon's residence during the time of Brandon's shooting, and then left the area shortly thereafter and back towards Idaho.
And so understanding that you had a person in interest or a suspect, were there other individuals you were interested in as well?
Yes. His wife, she was still his wife at the time, Melanie Boudreaux. And then, of course, wanting to talk with Lori Vallow and check welfare of the children that were involved, which is Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow.
When I say you wanted to check the welfare, what caused the department in Gilbert to want to check the welfare of, or the departments in Arizona, correction, to want to check the welfare of either J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan?
So once communication was had with Chandler PD about their homicide and our attempted homicide, we communicated with the FBI to get some assistance with the cellular data analysis because it's quite complicated, in my opinion. I'm not a cell phone guru, so. Once communicating with them during that meeting, a big question arose of when was the last time either Tylee Ryan or J.J. Vallow were seen, their welfare. So despite our desire to locate Alex and interview him, and process the Jeep, of course, locate and process the Jeep. Another focus became, let's check the welfare of these two minor children while conducting our further investigations.
Had either department in Arizona received information from any of their relatives looking for those children?
Yes. Kay Woodcock spoke directly.
Objection, hearsay.
Sustained.
What information, without telling us who said what information did you have that caused people to ask law enforcement to locate J.J. and Tylee?
Again, I'm going to object. As the only way that he can answer this is through hearsay testimony.
That'll overrule. I think the officer's allowed to indicate what he did in the course of his investigation based on generalized information received.
So within this law enforcement meeting we were having, it was brought up that family members were concerned because they had not been able to see or communicate with either Tylee or J.J. at all, via electronic means or otherwise.
And so with that information or conversation, was there a request made back to Idaho to locate either of those children?
Yes. Prior to that request, the Jeep Wrangler involved in the Gilbert investigation was located at this Pioneer address, which Rexburg police were able to impound for future processing. Rexburg also assisted by then going to the Pioneer address where it was confirmed that Alex, Lori, and Melanie Boudreau were living. And they attempted contact with those members and attempted to locate and check the welfare of Tylee and JJ.
And were they successful?
They were successful in contacting Alex, Chad, and Lori, but were unsuccessful in locating the children.
And so upon, with Gilbert learning that they were unsuccessful in locating Tylee and JJ, what efforts or position did the Gilbert PD take in continuing their investigation?
We knew we had our Jeep for our shooting, but with the contact that Rexburg police had on October 26, 2019, with Alex Cox, Chad Daybell, and Lori Vallow.
I apologize. Maybe I misheard you. Was it October or November of 2019?
I'm sorry, November 26. I apologize. It was November 26 when this contact was made. It was relayed back to Gilbert police that it was told to them that JJ Vallow was in the custody of Melanie Gibb. Melanie Gibb was a close friend to Lori Vallow. Melanie Gibb additionally lived in Gilbert, Arizona. So the Gilbert Police Department, myself and a partner detective of mine, went to two respective residences where Melanie Gibb lived, and she was not at either location. Telephonic contact was attempted with Ms. Gibb, and unsuccessful. However, messages were left for her to return a call from myself. It was, I want to say, approximately 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. that evening where I received a call from Melanie Gibb.
Objection. It's going to be hearsay, whatever he's going to say next.
Sustained.
Okay. So did you learn information from Melanie Gibb that caused you to be concerned for the whereabouts of J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan?
And I'm going to object as to the only way that he can answer this is through hearsay testimony.
Yeah, that's not being offered for the truth of it. It's for the furtherance of the investigation. So on that, the objection on hearsay is overruled.
Thank you.
You can answer if you remember the question.
Can you please repeat the question?
Sure. Did you learn information from your conversation with Melanie Gibb that caused you to be concerned for the whereabouts of J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan?
Yes, I did. She told me she didn't have...
Objection, it's hearsay. He just said she told me.
Well, as to direct quotes, again, yeah, that would be sustained as hearsay. What anybody's directly quoted as having said to you. So, Ms. Smith, ask another question, please.
Did you learn information without saying what someone said? Did you learn information that caused you to be concerned for the whereabouts of J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you continue to look for J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. Where did you look in Arizona?
So we set up poll cams at Melanie Gibb's residence because, again, we couldn't contact her and she was not in the state of Arizona during my conversation with her. So we set up poll cams, which are cameras that monitor 24/7 a specific location. We then began making contact with known family members and friends to both Lori and then friends that would have been in high school with Tylee at a point in time, as well as where JJ previously went to school.
Did those contacts yield any results in locating JJ or Tylee?
No, they did not.
Okay. Did you also communicate with any other law enforcement officers about that there's no evidence of JJ or Tylee in Arizona?
Yes.
And did you communicate that with Rexburg and Fremont?
Yes, we had regular telephonic meetings since we were all a little spread out to compare notes of where we were at in our investigations, and nobody had located any evidence of the children.
Okay. And this was in November and December of 2019?
November 26th was the contact with Melanie Gibb, and then November 27th of 2019 is when Rexburg continue their investigation at the Pioneer address.
Okay. And so despite the efforts in Arizona to put up a poll cam and to reach out to family members and to reach out to school members, did you have any evidence that J.J. Vallow or Tylee were in Arizona?
None, and that includes speaking with her brother, Colby Ryan.
Okay. And did anything about what Melanie Gibb cause you to call another law enforcement? What Melanie Gibbs said to you caused you to call another law enforcement office?
What Melanie Gibb told me?
Yes.
Yes, I communicated with Rexburg Police Department again about what she told me, yes.
Okay. Why did you talk to Rexburg again about after your conversation with Melanie Gibb?
Because it was believed Melanie had custody of JJ.
Okay. And did you have any evidence from Melanie or anyone else that that was true?
No.
Okay. And so then did you communicate back to Rexburg about the possibility that JJ would be back in Idaho?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Because all evidence we had at this point with the Gilbert Police Department and Chandler Police Department is JJ Vallow was not in Arizona.
Okay. Now, did you continue your investigation into the shooting at Brandon Boudreau?
Yes, ma'am.
How did that investigation continue?
We continued, again, we processed the rest of the vehicle for any type of physical evidence, Brandon's specific vehicle. Then, with regard to the Jeep in Idaho, myself, a crime scene technician, and a infotainment specialist, which is somebody who knows how to study computers and vehicles, the three of us flew up to Rexburg, Idaho, where I met with detectives in Rexburg. And we processed the Jeep that was in the police property building. That process included photographs, collection of biological evidence, and collection of GSR evidence. GSR is an acronym for gunshot residue evidence.
Okay. So, and what were the results of the GSR?
The GSR evidence was collected at the rear of the vehicle, near the back window and within the vehicle, and the GSR results tested positive for evidence of a discharge of a firearm.
Okay. The chemicals that could be there were present in the back of that Jeep?
That is correct.
Okay. It's not a definitive ruling, but at least the chemicals were there.
Correct.
All right. Now, I just want to be clear, because then it may be my, the way I ask the questions. What date was it you did the search for of the Jeep?
The search of the Jeep, I would have to look at my notes,
okay,
if I may.
Did you have notes and bring them with you today?
I made notes with dates because there was a lot of dates involved in this.
May he be handed his notes after defense counsel looks at them?
Yes.
Thanks.
That wraps up segment number three in our continuous coverage to the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There's much more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.